Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Quickly, let us begin today by taking a text of scriptures from the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 22. It is a blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. He said, God has what is called a blessing, and when he gives it to somebody, the person becomes rich, and that is not with sorrow added to his life. Now, that's the text for the discussion I'm going to have today. We have been talking for some time about what I call the foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. Some of the points I have made, vital, I said, there's a difference between foundations and pillars. Foundations are those things that you cannot see. Okay, you see a very tall building, you see the giant pillars that are keeping it standing. But the thing upon which they are all standing, they are invisible. They are beneath the surface. Therefore, a passing person will not be able to describe what the foundation of that building looks like. You need to be somebody of understanding, or God gives you a revelation for you to know what is underlying something. And I said that the Bible says that if by faith we understand that there are foundations that are invisible. Now, I'm adapting that scripture, Hebrews chapter 11, that says that by faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen, we know they were not made out of those things which are visible. Now, so the foundations, all right, we said are different from pillars. Pillars are the things that we can copy. So a lot of times when we are copying people, all right, we read books and they teach us seven effective habits of effectual people, or 25 keys to financial prosperity. And we take the lives of other people and we try to copy them. What we are copying are the things that I call pillars. And these are the things that we can see outside. They are very important. Don't get me wrong. They are very important. But they must be built upon a foundation. The foundation is so difficult to describe that a lot of times the people who you are looking at their lives don't even understand the real foundation for the thing we are describing. Because the Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 4 that the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants into the ground. Let me summarize. He said, the thing bears fruit, he himself does not know how. He knows he planted a seed, but doesn't know the process by which his seed came to life. Are you following what I'm going to explain there? So it's difficult sometimes for even the man to tell you these were the foundations that I laid. Okay? So we need to go to only one place, or we can only go to one place to find out the real foundations, and that's where the word of God. So he says that by how can a young man, applies also to a young woman, keep his way pure? He said it's only possible by keeping it according to the word of God. We refer to 2 Chronicles chapter 27 verse 6, that the Bible says that Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. That was a prophetic insight to the reason behind the might of Jotham. Do you follow my point? He may not have understood that this is how I got to this level. But the prophet looked and said, this man became mighty because he ordered his steps before the Lord his God. And when Nebuchadnezzar boasted about his strength, he said, I built this city, built this kingdom with the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty. God said, you've gotten it all wrong. So we need to take you through steps in life that you might learn the lesson. You know, I was meditating about it. And the Bible says that seven seasons or seven periods of time will pass over Nebuchadnezzar while he's in his distress, that he will know. I said, why does it have to be seven? Now, we don't know the exact length of time, but I suddenly realized something, that God was using each season to bring him through a process, okay? And then he came to understand that the heavens rule in the affairs of men, and God gives the kingdoms of men to whosoever he wishes, and sets upon it the lowliest of men. So those are the things I've been understanding. And I said the first and foremost of the foundations for financial prosperity, let me summarize it like this, is the wisdom of God. That is, God in his wisdom sacrifice his only begotten son, that you and I might be delivered from the curses that may have held us down. I said something last time, and I'd like to say it again. I said that, you know, people see that analyze the root of curses, that it is because this man did this and his grandfather this is, so want to undo the works of his grandfather. Believe me, arrant nonsense. Let me say it again. It's a time-wasting procedure. If a doctor wants to treat a man that has malaria, he doesn't check whether his own malaria came from Lagos. Are you getting my point? Or it was when he visited his friend when he was in the hospital, or it was while he went for a NYC orientation camp. He has the correct drug, he uses it. He doesn't investigate where it started from. Are you following my point? So when somebody is promising you deliverance and they have to go through all kinds of divination to know where your problems started from, they are not using the gospel of Christ Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is that who sinned that this man should be born blind? Jesus said, I don't know, I don't care. Now I'm paraphrasing now. He said, but we must do something. We must walk the works of him that sent us while it is day. The night comes when no man can walk. So he made clay from spittle and anointed the man's eyes. Go to the pool of Siloam, he told the man, and go and wash. The man went there, he washed, and he came back seen. And nobody ever discussed where it began from. Do you follow my point? So the sins of your ancestors, your own personal sins, whatever be the reason that you should be held in poverty, whatever be the reason that you should be held perpetually in lack, they are redeemed. You are delivered from it, like we read from the book of Colossians chapter 1, out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son by your faith in Christ Jesus. If any man will believe, the Bible says in John chapter 5 verse 24, he has passed out of death into what? Life. By faith. We're not describing how he got into death in the first place. We just know that he was dead. He was dead in his trespasses and iniquities and the sins of his ancestors, whatever be the issue. What we know is that the man was what? Dead. And then he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and then he's liberated. And we also read from Ephesians chapter 1 that the Bible says that such a man is blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. A point I made last time, which I should make again, is the fact that, listen, the fact that you've had challenges in life does not mean you are not blessed. I mean, the fact that somebody has something going wrong here and there is not proof, okay, that he has a curse working in his life. Everybody can have challenges in life. Do you get my point? In fact, God allows those things as stepping stones into your destiny. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? God allows those things as stepping stones into your destiny. The assurance you need, okay, by faith. This is what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Even though I have not yet experienced it, but the word of God describes it to me and I take it as so. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? If God says you are blessed, believe me, you are blessed. And anyone who, listen, the word of God doesn't describe your circumstances. It creates the one that's supposed to be. It is not because you have stories to tell to show that what you are saying is correct. That will now mean that God doesn't know what he said. If the Bible says you are blessed, believe me, you are blessed. And it makes it very clear that God has blessed the believer with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, I don't want to have to preach that message all over again. Let me just quickly go into the next thing that I want to say. Still talking about these foundations, okay, for financial prosperity. The reason why I brought up that scripture, the blessing of God make rich and add no sorrow to it. There's something I want to introduce today in this teaching, which I've mentioned, I'm sure, in previous times. And that's the concept of two things, actually. The blessing and treasure in heaven. Because we are talking specifically about financial prosperity. It says the blessing of God makes rich and he doesn't add any sorrow with it. Now what he's saying, I referred to Psalm 118 before, that there are different gates by which you can enter into something. Open to me, he said, the gates of God. He said the righteous will pass through that particular gate. There are different ways by which you can attain financial prosperity. I'm describing the one that God says we bless his child and the prosperity we endure. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? That's why I said the blessing of God makes rich. There are other ways by which people can get rich, but then only the blessing of God doesn't add sorrow with it. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? It is not possible. The reason is because, you see, everybody has a limit. Please try and follow what I'm saying here. When you were born, when God wrote out the plan for your life, he gave you a dose of spiritual energy. Do you get my point? There are two, and you know, if you study science, they will tell you about the interconvertibility of energy. Kinetic energy can become electrical energy. Alright? Like they do in waterfalls. Do you follow what I'm saying? Thermal energy can become electrical energy. Like we have in our gas plants and all of that. Okay? Now, in the same manner, spiritual things are like that. The soul energy that you have, it can become financial energy if that's what you so desire. And the interesting part is that it will shorten the amount of energy you have for the preservation of your life. That's a matter of fact. But you see, what are you supposed to do with the soul energy that God deposited in your heart, in your life? Believe me, this is what I have discovered. You are to use that to seek the face of God. Then everything that God pours into your life becomes a matter of his own energy working on your behalf. So Paul said it like this, I am what I am by the grace of God. Do you get my point? His power working towards me. So it's different from my own energy, trying to produce something for me. It is God that is using his power. So what do I do with my own energy? I connect with God. And God has given me enough to use to seek his face and discover his person. I said something last time, that the Bible says that thou will keep in perfect peace the mind that is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. That is, what I should do is to use my energy to trust in God. I hope you have found what I'm going to explain. To seek his face, to discover his person, to get to know him intimately. Now, that's very important. Now, so if God gives me a blessing is very powerful. And those are the foundations of prosperity. In fact, the curses we talked about, they're actually spiritual forces that try to short-circuit the blessing that's inside our lives. Do you follow what I'm going to explain there? So once we have removed those things, and that's what Jesus did for us. Listen to this. What Jesus did was to cleanse away every negative thing and bring us back in reconciliation with God. Do you get what I'm saying? And that's what he did. There's a reason why I'm bringing that one up. Because having done that, we now begin a process of filling our clouds before God. If you read the story of the prodigal son, using the Bible that I have, the New American Standard, which I love so much, he describes the encounter between the prodigal son's father and the prodigal son's brother. When the father came out to the brother and said, "Why have you refused to come inside to come and celebrate with us?" And he complained that, look at your son. He came back having squandered everything you gave him, and you are receiving him like this. He said, "But I have been with you all this while, and you have not given me anything." Now, my emphasis is on what he said in reply. He said that it is good that we rejoice because your brother was dead. Now, he said, now he has begun to live. That's what New American Standard says. That now he has what? Begun to live. He's not fully alive yet. Yes, we have reconciled him back to the house, but he now needs to learn to serve the father. Because the Bible says, if you read that book of Malachi, it said, "I will spare them like a man spares his son that serves him." That is, yes, we have reconciled him, but he must learn to be a son that serves. Do you follow the point I'm making? Paul wrote concerning Timothy. He said, "I'm testifying that this young man has served me like a son serving his father." There is a principle of sons that serve their father. And what am I saying? That is how we fill our clouds before God. He said, when the clouds are full, all right, they pour forth rain upon the earth. That is, before God pours forth an abundance of rain upon somebody, he has to fill his clouds. Please get what I'm going to explain. Look, listen, let me say this to you. I'm going ahead of things I want, of myself. There are things I want to say later, but let me just say them now. And I need to say, because people hear the opposite so much, and it is sad because it's not true. What they are hearing is not true. Listen, emergency breakthrough is not the order of God. You cannot give one offering and your whole life will just turn around if you were not giving it before. It doesn't work like that. You know what God wants? A constant, persistent, patient, enduring work with him. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, it's important we get the point. You know, I said that a lot of people get discouraged. And if you're a preacher, listen to this. Be careful you don't discourage people. One day a man called me. He said, "Oga," you know, this was after one man, supposed man of God in Lagos, was arrested, tried for murder, and was condemned, all right, to death. And he said, "Oga, I think I know the next man of God that's going to jail." And he mentioned the name. I said, "Why do you think he's going to jail?" He said, "The man said people should send him offering, and if God doesn't bless them the next few days, they should call him, he'll refund their money." He said, "This man will go to jail." And all I could do was laugh. But there's a reason why he said it, okay? And I want to agree with that reason. You can't promise that God will bless anybody in a few days. You cannot do that. You know, just everybody. A generalized offering. Now, I will address something. The issue of the widow of Zarephath again. Because you look at that woman's life, that woman was a perpetual giver who had honored the Lord, who had helped the poor in previous times, and who had prayed to God. How do you know, Pastor Banky? Because we know that God sent Elijah from the brook to her house. He wasn't just going around looking for any widow. Are you getting my point? Because her cloud was filling up. Please get my point. The reason why you have been discouraged is because somebody promised you something that nobody can deliver on. Are you getting what I'm saying? I preached a message some time ago titled "The Switch of God's Power." And I said the switch of God's power is a continual doing of good works. You know what the Bible says? Sow your seed in the morning and at night don't withhold your hands. It said because you really don't know which one will prosper, or maybe all of them alike. we do well. There's a spiritual principle there that a man who's doing good works cannot tie his good work to anything. If you're out there listening to me, you cannot deliberately sow a seed towards your car. You cannot do that. The spiritual seed that produces blessing for you is spiritual, and you don't know exactly how God will choose to use that your seed at that particular point in time. Please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense. People say, if you sow corn, you reap corn. Therefore, if you sow money, you reap money. I say, money is not a spiritual seed. It is the thing behind it when you are doing it. So love is a spiritual seed. Mercy is a spiritual seed. Kindness is a spiritual seed. Faith is a spiritual seed. Selfishness is also a spiritual seed. So if the reason why you are giving is so that you can get, definitely you have done nothing good. I'm bringing an issue here. You have to fill your cloud with God. And that's what he calls treasure in heaven. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, God imparts a blessing. I want to put the two of them side by side. And when God gives you a blessing, it's a spiritual substance. When we use the word heaven, it doesn't mean that it's something you get when you will have died. Like I said last time, it simply means that the thing is placed in a place where corruption, inflation, thieves, none of these things can touch it. Do you get the point I'm making? So if you have treasure in heaven, Jesus was saying, even though like Job, you lose everything on the earth, if you respond with thanksgiving, what you will get is a doubling of the material things that you lost. Do you get my point? Because the substance is real and it is in heaven. So if we want financial prosperity, therefore, what we should do is to lay up treasure in heaven and not on the earth. People have, you know, if you read around a lot and talking about financially securing your tomorrow, listen, it is not possible to use physical and material things, to use physical money, investments in maybe it's the stock market or in real estate, you buy a house, you buy land, you cannot use any one of them to secure your tomorrow. It is not possible. Listen to me, it is not possible. You have read how to save and save and save and then invest for your future. Listen, I watched Bernard Madoff. For those of you who watched this thing happen recently, this man sat down and collected everybody's life savings that he could lay his hands on. At the end of the day, he had collected $65 billion from different people. And I remember one woman I was watching on TV. And she was feeling very bad that all this guy would get is a jail sentence. That what has she lost all her life savings that she's been saving since she was a little girl, since she was 18 years old or so. She has been saving. Now she's in her 40s and she had about another $3 or $6 million, forgotten the exact amount. Bernard Madoff collected everything and now all he's going to do is go to jail. Meanwhile, she has to go back to work. I felt sorry for her, but I said she should have read the Bible. That the Bible said, do not lay up your treasure on the earth. They say, when moths don't destroy and thieves do break in and steal. This was what happened. These guys just broke in and stole. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? This is just a clear demonstration of it. I mean, you wake up one day, suddenly, maybe dollar or naira, whichever one just changes in value. That's it. I remember reading the story of Donald Trump. Multi-billionaire. And then a single legislation, a law was written in New York. That single law made him so broke, he was owing, I think, $2 or $4 billion. He said one day he was in his apartment, at the top of Trump Towers, in Manhattan, New York. And his phone rang. His bankers were having a meeting somewhere nearby. This was 2 a.m. in the morning. They said he should come over. They needed to discuss. He came out at that time of the night, walked past a beggar and looked at the beggar and realized that this beggar was $2 billion richer than him. Why? The man didn't have anything, but was not owing anybody. What is the story? A single legislation changed his life. No wonder the Bible says all flesh is grass. And the goodliness thereof, they are like the flowers of the field. You leave them alone, they are okay. But they wither when the breath of God blows upon them. He said, the grass withers, the flower fades. Only the word of God abides forever. Listen to me. We are talking about enduring financial prosperity. It doesn't come by laying up treasure on the earth. It cannot come like that. There was a time that Swiss banks were the place to hide all your money, either stolen or legitimately gotten. Then one day, the Swiss banks woke up Of course, from pressure from the rest of the world, they say, okay, now we are ready to tell you the names of those who stole money and kept it here. You're getting the point. These things keep changing. I remember the days of MK Abiola. I think I can say that every Nigerian knows him. MK Abiola declared once on radio. A man prayed for him for all his charity that he had been doing, all the good works. He said, may the spirit that wastes money not enter into your money. It was a prayer. And the man said, the prayer is not necessary. He said, that spirit, when it comes, it will eat and eat and eat. When it's about to choke, it will go away. That is, he will get tired of eating money and go away. That's how much money God had blessed him with, or that he had at that time. And I remember when I heard it, I said, this man made a mistake. I said, he has forgotten that the issue is the separation. It's not where the money goes. That is, if God doesn't take your money away from you, he can take you away from your money. My statement was almost prophetic. Because when the then head of state took him and put him in jail, a prominent Nigerian politician, he went to him and begged for this man. And the man said, I will not release him. Take a message to him that he has too much money. I can't release him. That he has enough money to destabilize my government. Now, you are getting the point I'm making. All flesh is what? Grass. The man had all the money, but he couldn't touch one naira of it. What he will eat is what they decide he's going to eat. Because all flesh is grass. What am I saying? That's why Jesus told people, lay not up treasure on the earth. On this earth, the moth can destroy, thieves can break in and steal. I like what the Bishop Oyedepo used to tell us this. Now, what's the car? He said, cars catch fire. For a long time, I didn't have one because I couldn't put in the energy into something that will catch fire or that could catch fire. I said, if it catches fire and or thieves steal it, it will pain me too much. What am I saying? We cannot, it's not possible. You cannot build enduring financial prosperity on material things. You must first lay up treasure in heaven. I tell young people who you just left school, just started work, started doing business, whatever it is, started making money. The wrongest thing to do is to acquire all those things that you have not had all these years. You've forgotten that there's treasure in heaven you did not have all these years also. All the times we were students, people were giving you money. Believe me, you were not gathering any treasure in heaven. Because treasure in heaven is gotten by how you use material resources that God passes into your hands. You didn't have any. So now they've paid you. You got a job after you service. Up front. They landed money into your hand, almost a millionaire. You smile. You buy the finest suit, the finest shoes, the finest, home theater. You bought everything. You forgot to buy treasure in heaven. You are signing up for poverty. What's the first thing you should have done? You should have gone back to all those people that blessed you over the years and shared the money with them. You should have gone to church and dropped a piece of it there. You should have gone and given money to whom honor is due. I don't care whether your uncle is very rich and he doesn't need it. But two of the 4 years you spent in school, it was the one that bankrolled those 2 years. You can't afford to forget it. He won't notice. Believe me, he won't notice. He's too rich for that. But God notices that this man is ungrateful. This young woman is ungrateful. We can't bless people like that. They don't have any treasure in heaven. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, please, this is very important. We said the blessing of God, we need the blessing. The real foundation for financial prosperity is what is called the blessing. I wrote a little book on it. I pray you can get your hands on one to read. The blessing. The first and foremost blessing is the one you get for being a believer in Christ Jesus. But then you begin to lay up treasure in heaven. Because treasure in heaven does two things for you. Number one, it gives you treasure on the earth. And number two, it preserves your life while you enjoy the treasure that God has given you on the earth. I need to say that because it is possible to have treasure on the earth even though you don't yet have treasure in heaven. And let's quickly read this scripture. It will help us. The book of Luke chapter 12. It's a story we all know about the rich man whose land brought forth so much fruit. And that's what I want to explain again. Because the matter of doing good works is the switch to God's power. The continual, let me emphasize it again, the continual doing of good works. Let's quickly read it. Book of Luke chapter 12. What I would like to read, we know the whole story. If you begin from verse 16, you will see where Jesus began to tell the parable. He said, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. Listen, he said, I will gather and make sure I can store it better. That's the summary. In verse 19, he said, I will say, having stored everything up, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what human beings think. But God said, you fool. This very night your soul is required of you. The man died. And who now will own what you have prepared? The verdict of Jesus Christ, so is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see that this man was not rich toward God, yet he became materially rich. You notice that? I'll tell you what. God gave him the opportunity to do that which is right. We know the story of the rich ruler who came to Jesus and wanted to know what he should do that he might gain eternal life. You can find that in Luke chapter 18. This man also did not have treasure in heaven, but he had plenty of treasure on the earth. But there's a difference. It's like the blessing of God without sorrow compared with other blessings, okay, but which has sorrows. Because this man gathered up so much, he was not rich toward God. And what happened to him? He was not able to enjoy that which he gathered. Do you follow my point? Now, well, if you go further down, you see Jesus teaching his disciples that he said, for this reason, do not be anxious for your life, what you shall eat, nor for your body, what you shall put on. In fact, while teaching this series, please, I'm not trying to teach people how to have so much money that they don't need to depend on God continually. I'm actually expressing that God desires for us to have abundance, and lack and managing is not God's order. We can go through stages in life. But where God is taking us to is what the elder John wrote in the book of 3 John. He said, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, because I have heard that your soul is prospering. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? That is, when we have the prosperity of the soul, our relationship with God is waxing stronger than the desire of God. He said, God delights in the prosperity of his servants. That is, the one who's closely related with him, God delights in his prosperity. But listen, it will never come to a time as a child of God that you become independent of God. Occasionally, God tests people. He will give you so much and take everything away. Sometimes he will say, you have a revelation that says, give everything away. Like the rich young man that came to Jesus in Luke chapter 18. And the man was sad. And that's the problem. When people are attached to material things, the man was sad. He was not trusting fully in God, but he wanted eternal life. And Jesus said, look at him. The Bible says Jesus loved him, but when he left, he felt sorry for him. What am I saying? God tests people. There are those that God tests like he tests Job. You have not sinned, but God said, you have so much, I need to check whether your heart is really with me. Because it's not only poverty, all right, that has dangers. Because the Bible said, if I'm too poor, I will steal. He said, but if you give me too much food, I can take the name of the Lord in vain. That's what the Bible says. In fact, I like the way Abraham Lincoln was quoted to have said it. He said, any fool can stand adversity. But it takes a real man to stand prosperity. So sometimes God wants to test you in the midst of your prosperity. So it takes away that which you have already. Listen, that's why you must learn the power of thanksgiving. Some of us in the gospel of faith said that Job didn't know what he was saying. Believe me, Job knew what he was saying. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, it's Satan that took after God signed the warrant for taking. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Who signed the warrant for taking? It was God. Satan was just the enforcing agent. So the man said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken. But what blessed that man was that he remembered to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is, we must never say anything against God. We must never grumble against him. I hope what I'm saying is making sense.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng. or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.